Welcome to the deep dive. Ever wondered about what happens when the thrill of the game meets the rule of law?
It's a fascinating intersection, isn't it?
It really is. Today we're heading back to June 1975, stepping onto the, well, slightly soggy turf of Shea Stadium in New York.
Shea Stadium, not Yankee
Well,
Stadium.
and the Yankees were there temporarily while their own stadium got a facelift. And we're exploring a case that really laid down some serious groundwork for how courts view the risks athletes take. Maddox v. City of New York.
Right. And this isn't just, some dusty old legal thing. It's really crucial for understanding why, generally, whether you're a pro or an amateur, the inherent dangers of your sport are considered risks you've accepted.
Exactly. Our mission today is to unpack this. And what's maybe a bit surprising is the court's stance that being a paid professional doesn't automatically grant you more legal protection from the obvious risks.
That's the counterintuitive part, yeah. How did the New York Court of Appeals actually get there? That's what we want to figure out.
Okay, so let's paint the picture. June 1975, Shea Stadium. Yankees playing the day before, rain, lots of it.
Drenching the field. Important detail.
Very important. Keep that wet weather in mind as we get into the incident itself.
Okay, so what happened was this. Ninth inning. Yankees outfielder Heliot Maddox is chasing down a fly ball. Standard play, right?
Seems like it.
But as he moves, he hits a patch of wet, muddy outfield. His left foot just skids out from under him. His right foot plants or gets stuck. And boom, a pretty significant knee injury.
Oof. Yeah, sounds like something that could happen in baseball, unfortunately. A hazard of the game.
It does. But here's a really important wrinkle, something the court definitely noticed. The game the day before had been rained out.
Ah, okay, so everyone knew.
Exactly. The players, the stadium staff, Maddox himself, they were all well aware the field wouldn't be, let's say, perfect.
And Maddox specifically knew.
Yes. In fact, during the game, before the injury, he actually noticed standing water out there on the grass.
Okay, this is where it gets interesting legally, isn't it?
Worm.
What did he do about seeing that water?
Well, our sources say he did mention it to a grounds crew member. Hey, it's wet out here.
Okay.
However, and this is like a critical however, he didn't report it to Yankees management. He didn't say, hey, Skip, this field is dangerous, or ask to come out, or even formally object to playing. He kept playing.
Right. That decision seems pretty central to the whole thing. Okay, let's shift gears then. The legal side. Maddox understandably files a lawsuit.
Yeah, his argument was basically the city of New York, the stadium operators, they were negligent. They had a duty to maintain a safe field, especially the drainage, and they failed.
It makes sense on the surface. So that kicked off the court battle.
It did. Went through the New York system.
Yeah.
First, the trial court. They actually denied the defendant's request for summary judgment.
Meaning they thought Maddox might have a case?
Yeah, they basically said, look, maybe the stadium was negligent, and maybe Maddox didn't fully assume this specific risk. There are questions here. Let's have a trial.
But the defendants appealed that.
They did. It went up to the next level, the appellate division, and they saw it very differently.
How so?
They reversed the trial court. They granted summary judgment for the defendants, the city, the stadium. They essentially said, based on the facts we already know, Maddox legally can't win this case.
Wow, okay. So, end of the road.
Not quite. Maddox appealed that decision to the highest court in New York, the Court of Appeals.
And they had the final say.
They did, and they ultimately agreed with the appellate division. Affirmed. Maddox's claims were dismissed.
So let's boil it down. What was the absolute core legal question here?
Well, there were two main things, really. First, with the stadium actually negligent in how they maintained the field. And second, maybe more importantly for the final outcome, did the fact that Maddox was a pro athlete change how the whole assumption of risk doctrine applied?
Okay, assumption of risk. Let's unpack that. For listeners who aren't lawyers, what does that mean in sports, and how did the court use it here?
So, assumption of risk, in basic terms, means when you willingly choose to do something, especially something like sports, with known dangers, you accept the normal risks involved.
Right.
If you then get hurt by one of those typical obvious risks that you knew about, you generally can't sue someone else for it.
And the court made a really strong statement here, didn't they? Something about wet fields being part of baseball.
Exactly. They said, and I'm paraphrasing a bit, playing baseball on a wet field is just part of the game. It doesn't matter if you're an amateur in a park league or a paid professional. That's an inherent risk.
That's pretty direct. So being paid doesn't negate that basic risk.
That's the core idea. The court really hammered the point that Maddox knew the field was wet. He saw the water, knew about the rainout, and still chose to play without formally objecting to management.
Right.
That voluntary choice, knowing the potential danger, was key. They decided he assumed the risk of slipping on a wet spot.
It sounds like they had a kind of checklist. Our sources mention a four-factor test the court used. Can you walk us through that?
Yeah, they reaffirmed this test. Basically four questions. One, is the risk inherent to the sport?
Playing on a wet field in baseball.
Court said yes. Two, was the danger obvious?
Maddox saw the water, so.
Yes, court agreed. Three, was the participant aware of the risk?
Again, he knew the field was wet.
Yep. And finally, number four, did the participant voluntarily participate despite knowing the risk?
And since he played without protesting to management.
The court said yes, he voluntarily participated. All four boxes checked.
So case closed on assumption of risk. But Maddox had another angle, right? Something about labor law.
Yes, he brought up New York Labor Law Section 200. That's a part about employers having a duty to provide a safe workplace.
Okay, that sounds relevant. An outfielder is working, isn't he?
Well, that's what Maddox argued. But the court shot that down pretty decisively.
How come?
They were very clear. They said that law, Section 200, was written to protect industrial workers, not athletes.
Wow.
Yeah, they even said Maddox can hardly be characterized as mechanic, working person, or laborer in the sense that law intended.
That's drawing a really sharp line. So being a pro athlete doesn't put you in the same category as, say, a factory worker under that specific law.
Exactly. Yeah. The court saw the scope of that labor law as quite specific, and it didn't extend to the inherent risks of playing a professional sport. It's an important distinction, especially, you know, for law students, understanding how different laws apply.
Definitely. Now, there's another huge piece here, a historical context thing. Contributory negligence. This happened in 75, before New York switched systems. Explain that.
Right. This is critical for understanding the impact of the ruling at the time. Mm-hmm. Back then, New York used the old rule of contributory negligence.
Oh.
Meaning, if the injured person, Maddox, in this case, was found to be even 1% at fault for his own injury, he got nothing. Zero damages. It didn't matter if the defendant was 99% negligent.
Whoa! That's harsh. All or nothing.
Totally. It was a complete barter recovery.
So even if the court thought, yeah, the stadium could have done better with drainage, if they also thought, but Maddox shouldn't have played on that wet spot without complaining, then under contributory negligence.
He loses. Completely.
Yeah.
So the court finding that he assumed the risk was even more devastating under that old rule. By assuming the risk, he was essentially seen as contributing to his own injury, which automatically barred him from getting any money.
Okay, that really puts the assumption of risk finding into perspective for that era. So let's zoom out. We've got the facts, the legal path, the reasoning. What are the big takeaways from Maddox? Why does it still matter?
Well, a huge takeaway is how it limits liability for sports organizers, the teams, the stadiums, the leagues, when injuries happen because of those inherent obvious risks.
Right, like a wet field, maybe a hard tackle in football, things like that.
Exactly. If every slip or bump led to a lawsuit, sports would look very different. This case helps protect against that, for better or worse, depending on your perspective.
It sets a baseline expectation for athletes.
It does. And it strongly reinforces that being a pro, getting paid more, doesn't change that baseline regarding assumption of obvious risks. The court literally said it makes no sense to excuse pros from this just because they're pros.
Yeah, the logic holds. A slippery field is slippery whether you make minimum wage or millions.
Precisely. They're still playing the game. They see the conditions.
But you mentioned the court hinted at exceptions, right? What if the risk wasn't obvious? Or if someone was forced to play?
That's the crucial nuance. The ruling is really about inherent and obvious risks, voluntarily encountered. The court did suggest, and legal scholars have discussed, that if the danger was hidden, like, you know, faulty equipment that looked fine, or if a player was genuinely coerced, maybe threatened with losing their job if they didn't play on a clearly collapsing field or something extreme.
Okay, something beyond the normal hazards.
Right. Then assumption of risk might not apply, or at least the argument would be much harder for the defendant to make.
Yeah.
Maddox wasn't about that kind of scenario. It was about playing on a wet field, something players see all the time.
So it really comes down to inherent risk. Obvious risk, voluntary participation.
That's the trifecta the court focused on in Maddox.
Yeah.
It drew a pretty clear line around those situations.
Okay. So wrapping this up for our listeners, Maddox v. City of New York is a really foundational case in sports law. It solidified this principle. Athletes, pro or amateur, generally assume the risks that are inherent to their sport and obvious to them.
Yeah. And it's a principle that still echoes in sports injury litigation today. It sets a high bar for athletes trying to sue over injuries from typical game conditions.
Definitely. Okay, so before we sign off, here's something to chew on, a provocative thought. We talked about contributory negligence being the rule back in 1975. Maddox being even 1% at fault meant he got nothing.
Right, the all-or-nothing rule.
So, how might this exact case play out differently if it happened today in New York? New York now uses comparative negligence, where fault can be shared.
Ah, good question. Under comparative negligence, a jury could say, okay, maybe the stadium was 60% negligent for the poor drainage, but Maddox was 40% negligent for choosing to play on the obviously wet field without protest.
And then Maddox could potentially recover 60% of his damages instead of zero.
Exactly. It opens the door to apportioning fault rather than a complete bar. It makes you wonder if the outcome, the actual financial result for Maddox, might have been quite different under today's rules, even with the same facts.
It certainly highlights how legal standards evolve and how those changes can have real-world consequences. Something to think about. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
Always a pleasure.
We'll catch you next time.